Okay, afternoon, everyone. This is Board Chair David Corus. I'm going to call the meeting to order at 12:02 p.m. We have a packed agenda, so we're going to do our best to keep things moving along. But if folks have questions, comments, don't hesitate to certainly ask them as we progress. I'm going to start off by welcoming our newest board member, Kristen Urbach, who was just appointed yesterday by Governor Lamont, and really appreciate you jumping right in and coming to first meeting. She emailed saying, when's the next meeting? I said, well, funny you should ask. It's actually tomorrow, so we understand if you won't be able to make it, but we appreciate it. Kristen, maybe you want to just briefly introduce yourself and say hi to your colleagues.
Sure. So it's an honor to be here to join all of you today. I'm the executive director of the Connecticut Wind Collaborative. Prior to this role, I was the executive director of the North Kingstown Chamber of Commerce for 9 years, and also the founder of WinWin RI, which is an offshore wind career pathway training system for youth and adults. We established the nation's first and so far only a 4-year offshore wind high school certification that was named by Fast Company magazine World Changing Ideas. So I have nearly a decade of experience in the offshore wind industry. And then prior to that experience, I lived and worked in Washington, D.C. for 20 years.
I don't think you could possibly have more than about 10 years of experience in North America. So you were clearly there at the ground floor. Welcome.
Thank you.
Great to have you here. So I'll start with roll call in no particular order. Grant Westerson. Brian Thompson.
I'm here.
Doug DeLeon.
Here.
Felix Reyes.
I'm here.
Hey, Felix. Gaffney Fesco.
Here.
John Johnson.
Here.
Paul Hinch.
Here.
Tom Gill.
Here.
Tom Patton.
Here.
Dave Perillo.
Here.
Paul Whitescarver.
Here.
Kristen Urbach.
Here.
Chuck Roman. We do not expect. Paul Robertson. We do not expect. And Mayor Elliker. Not expect. I'll start with item 2 on the agenda, and I will open for a move. Approval for minutes of June 18th, regular meeting by Grant. Is there a second?
Second
by Gaffney. Any comments, discussion, or requested changes? All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, next item on the agenda is public comment. We'll start with folks in the room. Any members of the public wish to speak at this time?
Yeah, I'd like to make comment.
Yep, go right ahead.
So this project was going to be $93 million. It was going to be $157 million, $204 million, $235, $309. And now it appears you're going to have another $3.7 million cost overrun. The project was going to be done in 22. It was going to be done in 23. It was going to be done in 24. Now 25. And I ask if it's ever going to be done, and if the true cost is ever going to be pinned down or known. The Charybdis was going to come. David Corus, you know, very smug and proud, said the Charybdis was coming. The Charybdis didn't come. It's not coming. In this country, a person's word and the government's word is supposed to mean something. And you think about what you say, and you don't give your word unless you can meet it. And you guys have repeatedly given your word and broken over and over and over. That erodes the public confidence in the government. It's not good. It's either you guys are liars or you're too weak to follow through on what you say you're going to do. Either is not good. I don't know why anybody would listen to anything you're going to say today, anything you're going to say going forward. because over and over and over you've said things and then not followed through on them. So it comes to fault, who's at fault for all this? It definitely can't be Ulysses Haman, because as we've heard, he did an excellent job, as we've read in the paper, Bill Stanley's column, as we'll hear today at this meeting, for those of you that stick around to listen, he did a great job. So the $3.7 million cost overrun can't be his fault. And it definitely can't be David Corus's fault, because he got a $240,000 a year job as his reward for his work. It can't be AECOM's fault. They're going to get paid more money. It can't be Kiewit's fault. They're going to get paid more money. And fault is usually, you can usually figure out faults, like in a car accident, who has to pay. So it's the public. It's us. It's the taxpayer. We're at fault. We're at fault for allowing this organization, for allowing this group of organizations to continue to control our ports and stay here. And I guess that's what I'd say. The public's at fault for continuing to allow this organization to continue to control such valuable assets. Take water. I'm going to leave.
It's a shame that you're not going to stick around, since you so misread the agenda. There is no $3.7 million overrun that the board is voting on today.
What is the $3.7 million in? You're going to take it from the escrow. You're going to loot the escrow. You're going to loot it and hide it and continue.
Yep.
Pat Kennedy, Reinauer. Dredging proposed for Black Rock Harbor. The board of welcome was currently a tight job for us, going to tank barges to Santa Energy with 3 foot underfield clearance. And here was our window to only about 45 minutes before high water. And then it traps our vessel in their light tug, where we can't get out in the event of a dispatch to the do another sit job in the Riverhead or Bridgeport or an emergency situation. So we're welcome to Reiner and other maritime interests.
Great. Thank you. I'm sorry, I didn't hear who you were.
Pat Kennedy. New London, Sean.
Yes.
Captain Pat Kennedy.
Captain, yeah, that's the reason why I was not good.
Yes, Mr. Braddock.
Thank you. My name is Michael Braddock. Norwich. Meeting was held in the Lincoln several years ago in Colorado, the state of Massachusetts, would have fired him. Planning on doing. My other statement was, I'll speak up. My other statement was, Port Authority going forward has to provide more jobs than just in theory. Been very pleased to work with Port Authority. I've received, Norwich has received a grant for our rewriting of the plan, also a grant to $600 million to docks in that were very much antiquated. And I think that there are naturally going to be some bumps in the road for an opportunity of this magnitude. Some things that come up that were not seen in the past. Support the efforts. I'm sorry that it's running to such an extent of money. There's always going to be a question when you ask for more money. Hoping that you have good answers for them. It's important that this is communicated to the people, and particularly our region. The idea of change over here, the idea of pilot coming up with things, I think is important. We are at the end of the Thames River, Norwich, fed by the Tucket River, the Antic River, and we should have that opportunity to escort by a pilot large pleasure vehicles up to our dockage. Some of them just showing off their boats, ships, whatever they are. Boats to some, ships to others. I think that they come up with both of the casinos, and I think we should embrace that. Yeah, spending money in our communities, whether it be to London or Norwich, and I think that we should find a solution for a pilot to bring escort boats and ships up to dockage. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other public comment from within the room? Okay, any members of the public online wish to make comment at this time, you can take yourself off mute. You can raise your hand if you're on the Zoom. If you're on phone, you can press *9 to indicate your interest in commenting, *6 to come off mute. Any members of the public on the line wish to speak at this time? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda, which is the Finance Committee report. We had a Finance Committee meeting this morning at 10 o'clock. We went through our monthly finances. We're obviously only 1 month into the fiscal year, nothing particularly substantive in there to discuss. Everything is on track. I will just note that there were some adjustments made to last year's revenue when we did our final accounting and auditing with Gateway, which increased our assessable revenue from the activities at State Pier slightly. And I will just remind folks that we ended last fiscal year with an operating surplus before depreciation of $2.1 million. And so the vision for the facility and for the fiscal stability of the authority is absolutely going into effect. And as stated, we are in keeping with budget so far this year, although just a month into the fiscal year. The only action taken at the committee meeting was a recommendation to the board of the approval of our quarterly OFA status report. We submit these to the Office of Fiscal Analysis every quarter. We were going to do so after our last meeting, but we ended up making a single adjustment. And so what you have before you is the amended version. I'll just call your attention to the amendment. So you see, compared to what you all approved at the last meeting, in encumbered construction costs down at the bottom there, it is down to the actual costs encumbered by the end of last fiscal year. But we added a note down, you see at the bottom, $283,000. Which is the additional expenses to come from contingency that is before you at this meeting. We don't have them in the table because they are not yet formally encumbered because they have not been voted on by this board, but we want to be as transparent as possible. So we are conveying to the Office of Fiscal Analysis that that is an encumbrance that we are aware of on the horizon. So with that, I will entertain a motion to, I will read the resolution and then entertain a motion and second for discussion. Resolved that the Board of Directors authorizes submission of the Q4 quarterly financial report to the Office of Fiscal Analysis as required by Section 1-123, Subsection B of the Connecticut General Statutes, as recommended by the Finance Committee at its meeting held on July 16, 2024, in the form attached as exhibit to agenda item number 4A. Is there a motion to approve? So moved by John. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Grant. Any discussion, questions, or comments? Okay, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, moving on to the HR committee report, and I will hand it over to Brian Thompson to give a report.
All right. Thank you. And happy to give a report. It will be brief. And this focuses on the executive director recruitment process. So a search for a permanent executive director is in progress, and ad hoc committee, search committee has been appointed, including John Johnson and David Perillo, Doug Delina, Gaffney Fesco, Paul Hinch, and Paul Whitescarver. A search firm has been retained. This is a firm that specializes in recruitment for positions in the maritime industry. And the position has been posted, and both through the search firm and on the CPA website. And we are still early in the process of considering candidates, but the process is underway, and getting assistance from Jill Dowling Moreno as well. Greatly appreciated. So again, position is posted on the CPA website. So if you know anybody who's interested in a candidate, please direct them to the CPA website. So that is it.
Great. Thank you, Brian. Any questions for Brian on that process? Great. Thank you. Moving on to the next item, Executive Director's Report. Ulysses.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For my last report before this board, I'd like to, first of all, thank this board. Sincerely thank each and every one of you for the opportunity to serve as your interim executive director. It has been a pleasure and an honor to do so. I'm the best that I can on your behalf and on behalf of the citizens of our fair state. As I stated in my letter of resignation to you, together we have transformed the administration and solidified the financial and fiscal management of the organization. I also stated that it is the integrity and strength of the current staff, plus the significant steady stream, if you will, of revenue that will be generated from the operations of state here, that really has brought me to this point, and I'm satisfied that basically we have accomplished what we set out to do. But I also want to take this opportunity in particular to thank the chair of this organization, David Kouros, for his extraordinary support and counsel that I could count on at a moment's notice. And believe me, there have been a number of moments and a number of notices. And he has done that unconditionally. He's a remarkable leader. He's been a remarkable leader and is a remarkable leader. But also, as I enter my final days here and of my tenure, let me also take this moment to very profusely thank Viola Haynes, our finance director, and ethics liaison of the organization.
I'm very tight.
Oh, wow.
It's only a job.
I'm a maritime development manager, Eric Dussault. I'm sorry. And Jill Dowling, Moreno, office manager, and over here, attending her first meeting of the board after over three years now, is Lori Epler, our fiscal analyst. Thank you for your assistance. And thank you for your patience. Thank you for your good humor. We worked hard and we played hard. We've had a great time together. I'm sorry.
Keep it up. You're the best.
Oh, man. I'm sorry. Oh. Well, they put up with this too. Two and a half years. But I would also be remiss if I didn't thank also Andrew Levine, Joe Salvatore, Veronica Calton, who would there support the provision of historical context, providing me with the historical context that I needed at the beginning of my tenure? Along with Paul Hinch and Kim Tennyson of OPM, I owe you also a great deal for the context that you were able to provide me upon my entry into this office. When it comes to the administration of the office, Eric Dussault has jumped in now with both feet. He has not only taken over the whole SHIP program, right now is taking on the applications and criteria, developing criteria for the SHIP program, but he's also assisted me in other projects that I have in working with other stakeholders, including New Haven Harbor Navigation Improvement Project, the Fort Trumbull State Pier Project, the statewide dredging study, and the dredging of the Bridgeport Black Harbor projects as well. Just to name a few. And you will hear from him shortly in just a few minutes in this particular, at this meeting later on in the agenda. From a financial management and state reporting perspective, that dynamic duo that I spoke of earlier, AKA Paola Haynes and fiscal assistant Lori Epler, they continue to perform at a very, very high proficiency level of fiscal accountability and financial management. Our finance director is currently exploring various banking and investment opportunities that will generate increased interest income for the CPA, especially now that we are experiencing and will experience in the future continued growth with respect to revenues from our operations at State Pier. When it comes to the current audit, we have a current audit by the auditors of public accounts, which is now wrapping up. And at the same time that that's wrapping up, commencing also as an independent audit right now by our independent auditor at Cone Resnick. The team also has prepared, as you just passed today, the quarterly report, the fourth quarterly report for the Office of Fiscal Analysis. And that was for the period ending June of 2024. When it comes to state compliance reporting, I want this board to note that we are up to date, current with all state compliance reports and reporting. Some of them are in my report as stated here, but also with respect to procurement. We are issuing right now this week, as a matter of fact, on my last day, my last official day, we're issuing a request for proposals for a communications and marketing services. And also we'll be preparing a solicitation for IT services this quarter as well. I'm going to also now move on to a couple of reports, but the staff are going to, they're going to also jump in here and help me out as well. We're going to start with the New Haven Harbor Navigation Improvement Project, that dredging project where we are widening and doing a very significant job of dredging, if you will, and planning for the dredging of that particular harbor. Right now, the geotechnical borings are on schedule to be completed this month. There's lab analysis of the rock area. That is underway and scheduled to be completed in September. The draft report for this particular project will be completed in October, and the final report in November. When it comes to Fort Trumbull State Park project, the goal of that project is to rehabilitate Pier 7 and to improve its existing infrastructure. The authority, we began hosting monthly meetings regarding this project in January of 2024 with stakeholders regarding this project, and the group decided that the project would initially address the structural integrity of the pier to support tall ships for off-sale sailfish 2026. At the July project meeting, GZA, who is our contractor, provided 60% design for this project. they are on track now to provide 90% by September, 90%, and then 100% by October. However, while the CPA has been tasked with the design effort, this pier is owned by Connecticut DEEP. So the issue of regarding construction and construction administration, that is now underway, plus the funding for the construction is now under discussion as well with Connecticut DEEP, along with DAS and the CPA. When it comes to the SHIP program, taking over, that whole effort has been Eric Dussault. So I'm going to call on Eric, Billy, to give you an update with respect to where we are relative to SHIP, because we initiated SHIP 4. It is underway and applications have been received. So Eric, take it away.
Thank you, Ulysses. I think I'd be remiss if I didn't recognize your leadership in my short tenure here. So thank you for everything you've done to get me up to speed here. SHIP 4 applications were due to the CPA July 1st. We had 17 applications submitted from 14 municipalities throughout the state. So we had a large increase in the number of applications we're seeing in the SHIP program, which is very positive. Currently, the review committee that we've selected, John Johnson, Grant Westerson, Brian Thompson, and Paul Whitescarver, we've met for our initial review. We're awaiting some clarifying information from a few municipalities, but we do anticipate that our recommendations or their recommendations will be in front of the board at the October board meeting and then passed on to the bond commission after that.
Okay. Well, you're on a roll. Why don't we go right into the statewide dredging study as well. We're going to hear from not only Eric on this, but playing a very key role has been the office manager as well. So Jill Moreno, Dowling Moreno, will also provide an update.
Yeah, thank you. As some of you might be aware, we've partnered with the Army Corps and DEEP for a statewide dredging survey. The goal of this survey was to identify the dredging needs of the state, both from municipalities and the private sector, in terms of quantities and volume. But more importantly, the Army Corps is going to take that information to analyze it, to look at potential alternate sites and beneficial use for this. So that way, that's really the one of the largest issues with dredging in this state is where the spoils go, right? Especially for the private industry, it can be extremely cost prohibitive to dredge if you have to run the barge out 50 to 60 miles. So we've worked closely with the Maritime Coalition, with the Connecticut Marine Trades Association. They've been instrumental in getting the surveys out to their members. The CPA continues to attend monthly updates with the CMTA. And next week, we'll attend the next one along with a representative from the Army Corps to sort of keep their membership in the loop of what's occurring. The Army Corps is going to begin hosting, we're identifying some dates now. We're going to begin hosting some public information sessions about the survey and the next steps, so that way stakeholders understand what the next steps are in the process. So we'll identify three dates that are convenient, a weekend date, a night date, and a day weekday date. So we're in the process of that. And I'd like to briefly turn it over to Jill. She's going to give you a brief update on sort of how we got here and the surveys received.
Thank you, Eric. Thank you, Ulysses. In terms of the questionnaires, we worked to help update the distribution list of about 500 contacts. We sent out the initial email in May with reminders sent out in June and July, multiple reminders. And we received approximately 150 responses. And we want to thank all stakeholders who completed the questionnaire and provided their input, which is critical to the inventory and forecast effort regarding the investigation of the potential dredge material placement sites to meet the dredge needs of Connecticut's waterway facilities. So thank you so much for participating.
At the last pilot commission meeting, which was in July, it was noted that our maritime development manager, Eric Dussault, would be leading if you will, a working group to review the Connecticut apprentice pilot policy and procedures.
As we get ready now to also solicit, if you will, put out a solicitation for those who would like to become Connecticut pilots.
When it comes to the dredging of Bridgeport, Black Harbor, Eric is going to be reporting on that in just a few minutes at another segment of the meeting. And that takes me now just to the final part of my report, which I always leave as last, but it's part of my job that I probably enjoy the most, and that is the education and outreach to the community. And I listed for you this time what we have done since just June. And in the middle of July, just during the month of July, we have briefed and had a number of community outreach activities with a number of entities from the Sierra Club and she's here today, Senator Austin. We also met with Senator Austin, Eric, and I. I'm glad to see you here today as well. But also the wise men of Westport and Weston. These are men who are with the YMCA, and they call themselves the Y-S men. And they were here. And to the EPA, the US EPA representative was here as well. The legislative commissioner's office, to Senator Needleman, and our own board member, Gaffney Fesco, just on. We did a briefing also for them together. Then there was Governor Lamont. Governor Lamont was here just a couple of weeks ago. And not only was he here, we toured also the installation vessel Skilla while it was docked here. 489-foot vessel that was docked here as well. Then there was also my last briefing was with the Connecticut Army National Guard Aviation. So it's been great providing the citizens of this community and of our state, but it's not just our state. We've had visitors from all over the world and this country to stop by to actually talk about the work of the CPA. So I will provide also an update on state pier at a later part in the agenda, but happy to answer any questions that you might have. And my apologies too for Peter to kind of get through all of this. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Any questions?
Yeah, I'm going to take a brief point of personal privilege to certainly say on behalf of the board how appreciative we are of your having stepped into this role. I know it was one that maybe looked a little unnerving from the outside when you first considered it, but your willingness to look past a lot of the hoopla and a lot of the reporting and to sit down with myself and some others who were intimately involved to get the real story and to make the decision to work with us over these last few years and to get us across the finish line, so many finish lines, not just on the project, but on many aspects of our operations and our financing, as you discussed. The board could not have done it without you. And I want to say as a personal note, in my role as chair, I've quite a few executive directors in a very short amount of time. And this role has required of me a time commitment that is outside the realm of sanity and ventures into the absurd. But the last couple of years with you here, I've been able to actually step back into an appropriate role for the chair of the board. And for that, I will forever be thankful. We had a great partnership, and hope we'll be able to work on other things going forward, and couldn't thank you enough for what you've done these last couple of years. And I want to take the opportunity to invite up Senator Austin and Joe DeLucia, President Pro Tem of the Norwalk City Council, and Tucker Braddock, who I know each have something that they'd like to say to you as well.
Oh, boy. Come on. God. We need Christine here.
Oh, no, man, no. All right. Gosh.
Good afternoon.
Hi, good sir.
Tucker, who do you want to go first?
Senator Austin.
Would you like me to go first? Okay. I'm Kathy Austin, for those of you who may not know me. I'm a state senator, very interested in dredging, very interested in anything to do with the SHIP program, nonstop, something that I've been extremely supportive of and will continue to do so. So I have a General Assembly official citation. I got a call from Tucker who said, hey, what are you doing next week? He called me last week and said, what are you doing? And can you stop by the Port Authority? I said, oh, you know, you try to stay away from but I was really very honored to stop by for Ulysses. And I have a General Assembly official citation introduced by myself, Senator Needleman, Senator Flexer, Senator Marks, Senator Summers, Representative Ryan, Representative Wilson, Representative Conley, Representative Nolan, Representative Bumgardner, Representative Johnson, Representative Howard, Representative Nuccio, Representative Carney, Representative Dubitsky, Representative Cheeseman, and Representative McCarty. Mm-hmm. Be it hereby known to all that the Connecticut General Assembly offers its sincerest congratulations to Ulysses Hammond in recognition of your many years of dedicated public service. Your unwavering passion and dedication serve as an inspiration to many. We join with your friends and family. I think your wife is very happy that you're retiring. I don't know, maybe she has enjoyed your work. I have had a personal conversation with her. In celebrating all you have managed to accomplish over your many years of service, and we wish you the best for a memorable and enjoyable retirement. I heard golfing is your thing. So there's a few great golf courses around Eastern Connecticut.
Absolutely.
The entire membership extends its very best wishes on this memorable occasion and expresses the hope for continued success. Given this 20th day of August, 2024, at the State Capitol, it's signed by the President of the Senate, Martin Looney, Speaker of the House, Matt Ritter, and Secretary of State, Stephanie Thomas. Thank you very much.
Here,
thank
here,
you.
Here.
Okay,
okay.
Go sit down. There's more.
Oh, okay.
Senator? Good afternoon, everyone. I am Joseph A. DeLucia. I am the president pro tem of the Norwich City Council. I'm here on behalf of the city and the mayor to present this proclamation to Ulysses. Before I read the proclamation, I'd just like to say that the Thames River waterfront in Norwich is a very significantly important part of the amazing story of Norwich, going back all the way to when settlers from right here in Saybrook traveled up the Thames to Norwich over 350 years ago. And every moment since then, the prosperity in Norwich has been due in part to our waterfront. And I'd just like to say that the city of Norwich is deeply appreciative of the work of Director Hammond to help us revitalize and renew our waterfront as part of our overall revitalization of the city. And I can say without hesitation that we saw it today. His passion and commitment to this effort is bone deep. And for that, we will always and forever be grateful to you, sir.
Thank you.
So I'd like to read this.
Sorry.
Yes, please. So, a proclamation, whereas Ulysses S. B., sorry. Oops. I'm in a little trouble with, yeah, there we go. Ulysses P. Hammond was the oldest son in a family of nine. He credits his mother, an evangelical minister, with inspiring him to put others before himself, and his father for his work ethic and board service. And whereas Ulysses B. Hammond has decades of executive experience managing and leading public and private institutions in Michigan, Washington, D.C., and the state of Connecticut. And whereas Ulysses B. Hammond has brought his transformative and collaborative leadership style to Connecticut-based organizations, including Chelsea Groton Bank, he chaired the board of the Connecticut Mirror. He is a former vice president of administration and legal affairs at Connecticut College. He headed the board at L&M Hospital and the Chamber of Commerce of Eastern Connecticut. And whereas Ulysses B. Hammond earned a bachelor's of art degree from Kenyon College, a master's in public administration from Wayne State University, and a Juris Doctorate from Wayne State University Law School. And whereas in April of 2022, the board of the Connecticut Port Authority voted unanimously to appoint Ulysses B. Hammond as interim executive director, and he will retire on August 23rd, 2024. And whereas Ulysses B. Hammond lives with his wife, Christine, in Waterford, he is an avid golfer trying for his hole in one. Haven't gotten one yet either. So, and whereas Ulysses B. Hammond, whereas under Ulysses B. Hammond, Norwich received $1.05 million in grants from the Small Harbor Improvement Projects Program and a grant to rewrite the Harbor Commission or plan. Now, I, Joseph A. DeLucia, President Pro Tem, and on behalf of Mayor Peter Albert Nystrom and the City Council of the City of Norwich, do hereby congratulate Ulysses B. Hammond as he retires and wish him a hole in one.
Here, here. Oh, there.
August 2024, signed by myself and by the mayor.
Very cool. Very cool.
Wow. Thank you, Joe.
Appreciate congratulations to you, sir.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Okay. Appreciate it.
Oops. Thank you. Good.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you. Okay.
I'm going to leave the rest of your business to all of you, and I know you're
going to
enjoy it all.
Great
work.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Senator.
Bye, guys. Appreciate it.
Tucker. I'm still Tucker Braddock. I'm going to
speak Tucker. I got to listen to you. Happy to get second bite of the apple here. I'm very pleased with the amount of openness this agency has developed. There's always a mystery dealing with them. Call here, you call there, and you never really knew the position that you're in. And the openness that Mrs. Hammond has provided, much appreciated to the SHIP grant. SHIP grants are available, important because they make available most of the coastline. We know very well the New Haven, the Bridgeport, and the Norwood, the London. The SHIP grant is so important to the commerce of each and every community along the way. And I'd like to say thank you very much. I do hope you get that golden one. And appreciate it. You coming to Norwich. I know you're very busy. You came to Norwich for ribbon cutting. And that was felt. Thank you.
Thank you, Tucker.
Thank you, Tucker.
Okay, we only got about 10 more things to get through.
Thank you.
Did you want to say anything else before I move on?
No. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it.
want to recognize two port directors that are here today. Gina Valhiro from the Bridgeport. For Bridgeport, she's the executive director of the Bridgeport port here. And Sally. Sally also. Yes. Who's back?
Yes.
Director of the New Haven Port Authority. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And so with that, moving into the Deepwater Port update, we'll start with New Haven, and we do have an action item today. I will describe it briefly. I think Sally's available if anyone has any questions when we get into the discussion or of the part of the resolution. And it is for a pass-through grant that is state-funded for a master plan. Resolved that the executive director is authorized, empowered, and directed for and on behalf of the authority to negotiate, execute, and deliver a strategic master plan grant to the New Haven Port Authority, utilizing grant and aid funds approved by the State Bond Commission on June 1st, 2018 for a port area master plan, including improved connections to the freight rail system in the amount of up to $500,000.00 to stimulate shipment of freight and commerce through the New Haven Port, as substantially described in the form attached here too, as exhibit to agenda item 7A, to take such reasonable and necessary actions as is reasonably required in furtherance thereof. Is there a motion to approve?
So
moved by Grant. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Gaffney. Any comments, discussion, or questions for Sally? Hearing none, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Moving on to Bridgeport, I believe Eric is going to give us an update on the dredging of Bridgeport Black Rock Harbor. And I know Tom and Gina are available. If there's any points that they would like to add or questions for representatives of the city or the local port authority.
Eric. Thank you, David. So the Army Corps has obviously identified a need for dredging in Bridgeport and Black Rock Harbor to the west. So currently they're in the process of identifying they've identified 15 beneficial use locations in the area for the dredge material. So they're in the process now of finalizing their dredge material management plan. They anticipate that being completed spring of next year, and then that would allow them to move into the design phase with the potential of dredging when the window opens in October of 2026. So I think Tom had a few points he wanted to make on that as well.
Yeah, thank you. On behalf of Gina and Port Authority, we have been on calls, as you know, Eric, recently with the Army Corps, and it's certainly wonderful news of Bridgeport Harbor, but even more wonderful news from a personal point of view about Black Rock Harbor, because they live in Black Rock, and I vote in Black Rock. But it's great, and the Army Corps has been extremely open with what they're doing. They have asked for some alternative sites that we have provided them, so that number may go up a little bit, and we're getting them some additional information on those alternative sites, but I believe we're going to continue on these every couple of week calls and so forth, but it's great news.
And David, we'll continue to see, yeah, we'll continue to be a part of those monthly updates. We can provide updates at every board meeting as well on the progress. So.
Any questions, comments from members of the board? Great. Moving on to New London. With this, Ulysses will share his state peer project update, and then we'll move into some action items related to the peer redevelopment project.
Okay. Anyone passing State Pier on New London by a boat, aircraft, car, train, they're witnessing right now a very, very robust operation with respect to Revolution Wind. In late July, State Pier saw the arrival of Wind Scylla, as I indicated to you earlier about, and that was the installation vessel that's out there now, ready for the assembly of 65 turbines with respect to this particular project. It should be noted that while the transmission and delivery of power, as reported, may be delayed, the assembly of components at State Pier will continue as planned. Also, with respect to Sunrise Wind, the Federal Bureau of Ocean Energy Management approved Sunrise Wind's plan for construction and operations in late June. And Ørsted completed the acquisition of Eversource's 50% share of Sunrise Wind in July. The 84 turbine Sunrise project is scheduled to be delivered from State Pier Terminal, and that will involve about 924 megawatts of power, enough power for roughly about 600,000 homes and businesses for New York. I'd like to just break this right now and show you just a short video that was developed by Ørsted Eversource regarding the Revolution Wind project. And this is also was taken when the governor was with us just a couple of weeks ago, and the installation vessel was docked at the station. Regarding the construction site at State Pier, New London, substantial completion was completed of the entire facility, and that was achieved on June 21, 2024. However, as I reported also in June at this meeting, we have just a limited number of punch list items that are still being completed. But based on information from our construction manager, we expect the balance of those punch list items to be completed next month. In addition to the remaining punch list, the select works that have been identified to be approved for design compliance and final acceptance are one, there's concrete patching of coil rods. Number two, confirmatory testing of two bollards, validation of the loading capacity of the designated southernmost 50-wide transport quarters, which is really near the south wall, and installation of a spool piece extension for tow wall fenders to partially address the alignment of tow wall pipe piles. Also with me today is our administrator, our construction administrator, Marlon Peterson. But due to the proximity of the remaining punch list items and works that I just noted to the ongoing terminal operations, the day-to-day CMR punch list items are now being sequenced, meaning that we are actually working around the operation in order to complete the punch list items. Before you today, we'll also be coming to you with a request to extend AECOM's extension, our construction administrator's extension, through December 20, 2024. To basically continue their work with the construction manager to continue to address number one, the outstanding punch list items that I mentioned. Number two, the required closeout items such as issuance of warranties and as-built documentation. Number three, completion of the works necessary to address design compliance and final acceptance items. And number four, resolution of outstanding CMR change order proposals. We would like to, we're going to be requesting extension not only of the contract until December, but also at the tune not to exceed $499,975 throughout that period. So that's coming before you in just a few minutes for your approval.
Yeah, so I would ask folks, if you have questions on any of the specific things that are going to come up in the next few items, hold those until we get to the items, which is the CMR contract amendment, the AECOM contract amendment, and the escrow agreement. But if you have general questions about the facility, operations, status, punch list items, certainly do so now. Great.
Simple request. Get us either a Google or a drone shot of what it looks like today, since the outline is going to be essentially the same.
Yes.
That would be wonderful to put next to it, showing the progress.
We might have that discussion before the meeting today.
Just before the meeting today, yes. We looked at Google, the Google Maps.
I tried to look at it now, but I don't have a password for this room.
Right. You have something you can do about this?
Yeah. Yeah. I did, but it's a no-fly zone for the drone.
We have drone access.
Yes.
Then I was able to do it.
Oh, good.
Yes.
All right. It's coming soon.
Next 48 hours.
Yeah, coming soon.
Yeah.
I understand there's some type of issue on the weight capacity on a small portion. I just think that that's been constructed. I don't think the board has been fully advised on that. Could you tell me about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I would not say that there's some concern about weight capacity in any portion of the facility. There's, as Ulysses just described, in terms of the confirmatory borings that have been done down at the south wall, which we'll talk more about today in the resolution with the CMR contract amendment. In the design, there was a 50-foot wide, no-load transportation corridor at the southern end of the facility along the south wall. You've got the south wall that's holding back all the fill. It was always anticipated that there was going to be some area of that fill closest to the wall where the wall couldn't hold back the transferred weight load from heavy load, material that close to it. What is going on right now is borings to determine exactly how wide that transport corridor will be now that the facility is completed, and exactly what the load-bearing capacity of that transport corridor will be. But the design was to have a no-load zone along the south wall, approximately 50 feet deep.
Correct me. Yeah, just a quick click. The no-load zone is only 6 feet. But then, we talk about 3,000 PSF and 5,000 PSF.
Low loads.
Correct. There's a low 650 PSF for a transport corridor for the vehicles to run around the storage area. So 6 foot off of the wall is no load. Then 100 foot, if you would, is this transport corridor, 650 PSF, low load. And then where you see the blades and everything else is the heavy lift. So we're confirming those boundaries so that we make sure we optimize how much storage, but make sure we stay safe and not impact the wall.
I mean, would it be accurate to say, Marlon, please, correct me if not, but, now that the facility is completed, the borings that we took recently are meant to allow us to say, we planned on the depth being 100 feet. What exactly is... Where is the threshold from heavy lift capacity to low lift capacity, and what exactly is the low load threshold amount?
Yes, as the CPA, you want to make sure you have this facility designated safely,
right.
And as the operator, they want to move as far south as possible, as far south as possible. So that's why we're doing this.
So was this anticipated in the original design?
Yeah. Yes.
The only question is the confirmation where that line actually is based on.
And will it be marked?
But we can see by the storage of the blades today, the blade storage area is at least the footprint that it was designed to be. The confirmatory testing will determine maybe it ends up being a little bit bigger than it was designed.
What margin you have.
Correct. Exactly.
So let me jump in with one question. The shore power, is that it on is AECOM still going to be in charge of that? Is going to still be around while that install goes on?
Oh, you mean the grant that we applied for? The
We applied for a grant.
Right. Okay, that does not involve AECOM.
Okay.
Right.
Sorry.
That grant is a $6 million grant, ship to shore power, that will give us the ability for vessels that are coming in to actually shut down.
Sure.
There's no further
action until we get.
And Marlon, you can correct me if this is wrong, but there's no more design or engineering. right? The electrical components for that to be plugged into were designed into the facility and built. So what the grant is for is delivering the crane and the cable,
sure,
which Gateway can manage,
yeah,
and Siemens can manage.
We'll
plugging
it
in. You don't need any further engineering.
You have the wall outlet if you would, but
yeah,
you'd be buying
have
a vacuum to plug in to actually use it, is the idea.
Yeah.
Another thing, I understand that there is no, according to Ulysses, you confirmed it, no ability for a vessel to take fresh water here. That's something that's basically standard. Ships take water. And we always had that ability to stay here in the past. And I'm wondering why that was eliminated. That's, to me, we have to bring in water for a ship on tanker trucks. And it's very expensive, and it's not common to do that.
I'm not aware.
We need to go back and look at the original basis of design, 2018, 2019, to see what that decision was, why that decision was.
Are we too late to change that now? To get a water line down there?
We have potable water. We have fire water. So service is available. But
I understand that's up by the, that's off the pier. You would say that was off the pier.
It's at the terminal. It's near the perimeter. Again, we've got such heavy items moving around. You don't want a fire hydrant in the middle. You're going to run it over, knock it over. So it is around the perimeter. But because you have water at the site, you can extend it down. You need to be creative because you can't. We need to make sure we put it in the right places in the transport corridor so it doesn't get crushed. And that would be something we could do.
I think in the past there was below the fendering or on top of the fendering down the side where it was out of the way of any activity
that's
on the pier and very easy for the ships to connect.
That could still be done.
If we could look into that.
It's nothing that I've ever come to my attention.
I know you're working on the electric,
In
49 years, I have never had a vessel that is going to plug in, and I don't have any that I see coming. But everybody wants one.
No, thanks for bringing it up. Okay. Any other general questions?
And you sell fuel there too.
And I.
Okay, then let's move on to the action items. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to introduce 8, 9, and 11 together. I'm going to split the order of 10 and 11. But 8, 9, and 11, it's worth, I think, me just kind of describing them all together in one overarching kind of explanation, and then we can go into the resolutions on each. But I want to be very clear about this, because the misinformation that we all heard at the outset of this meeting could not be farther from what we are acting on today. So with agenda items 8 and 9, 8 being the CMR contract amendment number 12 with Kiewit, and 9 being the AECOM contract extension that Ulysses just mentioned. Together, those represent a cost of $780,000 or so. I'm gonna be off by a few thousand there, but $780,000, right? The AECOM is $499.
Yeah.
The construction manager contract amendment is $283. Okay. So the cumulative value of those two things are under $800,000, which is well within our existing contingency. There is not an additional dollar beyond what we have talked about for the last year plus that we are allocating toward this project today. Full stop. There is also an item here related to the escrow agreement amendment. In October of 2022, we executed a contract amendment with Kiewit that required us using funds that were in contingency and borrowing funds from the escrow account where we were holding resources to pay the full 12 years of our lease with the railroad, NECR property. We took that action 2 years ago. We borrowed funds against that escrow, and we are incrementally refunding that escrow through our operating expenditures every year. So last fiscal year, we added about $700,000 from our operating account to the escrow to incrementally replenish the $3.7 million that we borrowed from it 2 years ago. And we will continue to do so. And that $2.1 million surplus that we ended last year with was after we put that money into the escrow account. And our budget this year and our projected surplus of $1.7 million accounts for us continuing to contribute another $725,000 to the escrow this year to incrementally replenish it. What we did not do at that time was we did not physically move the funds from the railroad escrow account to the construction escrow account. I don't know why it wasn't done at the time. We weren't fully staffed. We didn't have the finance department that we have now. It was always appropriately accounted for within all of our bookkeeping, but the funds were not physically moved. We didn't need to move them because we had a lot of money in the construction account that we were using to pay Kiewit's costs. We now want to do that. We want to put the money where it belongs based on the action of this board from account A to account B. In order to do so, we got confirmation from Webster Bank that the escrow agreement that was part of the Harbor Development Agreement, which governs the way in which the escrow funds are drawn down between us and NEO, needs to be amended to explicitly acknowledge and essentially NEO's consent that they know that we don't have 100% of the funds in escrow because we borrowed against it in 2022 to cover the totality of the lease period. That is all that is before us today. It's not another $3.7 million for the project. It's not another dime beyond what we have all already talked about and have been talked about for the last year. The only additional project costs that we are asking for you to approve today are
782.
Correct. A $283,000 amendment to the Kiewit contract, which Marlon will go into detail on shortly, which speaks to the issue that David asked a question about, and the $499,000 contract extension with AECOM that gets us through the project closeout and exactly 20.
And the 782 coming from the contingency.
Our existing contingency. Correct.
Correct. So it's not new money.
Not new money. Doesn't change the total amount, 310, we've been talking about for over a year. General questions about that before we go into each of those individual items?
Okay. You mentioned NEO and new members might not know.
Oh, yeah. So NEO, I shouldn't even say NEO anymore because technically NEO no longer exists. NEO was Northeast Energy Offshore, which was the joint venture between Eversource and Ørsted, who we entered into the Harbor Development Agreement with. As Eversource has sold their stakes and various aspects of it, there is a successor entity called Ørsted
Offshore Wind
North America.
Offshore Wind.
And they are the successor entity to NEO. They are now the counterparty to the Harbor Development Agreement and to this escrow agreement and all the documents that implement it. So I will start with the resolution for the CMR contract amendment number 12, which then Marlon can, maybe Marlon, why don't you describe it in detail before I read the resolution, and then I'll read the resolution and the folks can ask any questions that you might have.
Sure. Good afternoon, board. You may have seen a package that looks a little bit like this was in your material. What we are asking for, consistent with that package, is GMP amendment number 12, It correlates to a change order to DeWitt number 10. It has three parts to it. The total cost, as alluded to in the conversation here, $283,998. It has three pieces, the first two of which are the soil investigations that were discussed earlier. Why two sets? We had a 300-foot-long area that we filled. We did four across to understand the material, if you would, in that one plane to see if it was consistent with our expectations. We had a higher silty content in a portion of the area, and we needed the second set was then to move off the wall to help understand how far off that wall the silty lens remained, because that silty lens is what creates the less capacity than if it was a combination of sand and silt. So that's the reason we did the two-part piece. As you see in the table before, those two parts total up to, I think, about 260,000, or about 76% of that total, 283. And the third item, again, we have an existing state pier. If you recall, it's about 1,100 feet long. We took 480 feet in the middle and cut it out, if you recall. So right about here on our graphic, we removed this middle section. The rail lines on the north and on the south of it remain. We left that existing. Where those rail lines are, we, back in 1980, you built an extension onto that pier and widened it, so there was an expansion joint put in. This new project did not address those existing expansion joints, and because of the start of operations, they had, over the last 30, 40 years, there was some differential settlement. So the 60-some thousand in here was to buy some metal plates, have our contractor place them over the span, use some gravel to chalk it in. And so that was done on a temporary basis to allow the entire 1,100 foot to be used. So 76% of the total 283 was for the borings, and the balance was for that expansion joint. Questions?
Let me read the resolution, and then we can ask questions and have any discussion. Resolve that the 12th Amendment to the Construction Manager at Risk Agreement by and between the Connecticut Port Authority, a Hewitt Infrastructure Company, here and after referred to as the 12th Amendment, substantially in the form attached here to, is exhibit to agenda item number 8, is hereby approved and conditional on funding in full into escrow of the GMP set forth in the 12th Amendment. The Executive Director being hereby is authorized. I think that's old language, probably held over from the last time that when we did an amendment when the funding wasn't fully in place yet, but it's, you can disregard it, but it doesn't really hurt anything. Empowered and directed for and on behalf of the Connecticut Port Authority to negotiate, execute, and deliver such 12th Amendment and any and all reasonable and necessary documents in furtherance thereof.
So moved.
By John, second by Grant. Comments or questions for Marlon?
Just one question, Marlon. Are those rail lines that you need to, are they usable today? Okay.
We,
why not?
No, the other.
So
rail,
we
cover about the other rail.
That's yes.
What
oh, on the
so that's a yet that's a yes,
yes
and a
no.
But now I'll give you the
thanks for the answer.
So it's good film. Too quick. So we completely
yes.
Rebuild the rail between my two fingers. Okay.
Rail onto the terminal.
Totally reconstructed. The rail down here exists, but it is under. Some of the
very
aggregate, the graded aggregate. And that's partially because of the grade differential, right? So we lifted a bunch of the facility. And so in here, the rail is lower than the current surface grade. And we didn't want the rail to disrupt the movement of the heavy goods around the site. And so,
if you don't mind, Chairman, please. Anyone who drives over a railroad tracks knows what happens to the yard. We've got exceptionally heavy, tall elements. They need a very flat, consistent, that's why you have that DGA, dense graded aggregate look on that surface, so they can repave it annually or otherwise to keep that very flat, very level, so we have filled in up to the rail so that it's one consistent piece. So.
We're essentially in an interim condition right now that is designed to facilitate wind.
but we didn't. We worked hard to not preclude a future condition where the rail would be reutilized. And in fact, we actually did a study in 2019 or 2020. We did a study with a conceptual plan of a significantly expanded set of rail accesses into every corner of the terminal, and made sure that the near-term improvements that we made potentially set the stage for that potential future scenario. Though frankly, working with Gateway, they have been pretty clear throughout the design phase that because of the distance from the quayside to the existing rail, there was a high likelihood of two movements anyways. And so having the rail in the terminal where it is today provides them probably the level of operable flexibility that they would want in the future.
So if in future years, for example, if Wynn's going to take a 4 or 5 year hiatus for whatever reason, you could excavate out the rails, extend the rails down, because if you're going to handle a particular set of commodity, that's relatively inexpensive, but you have to clear those rails out.
Or you could just get it to the tow that comes into the terminal today alongside the warehouse. Right.
With all the increased capacity of the entire port, does that rail line have an increased capacity? If you did re-excavate it and allow it to be used, would that be a benefit, or would it still be a light use rail?
If you change it, if something were to happen in the industry that you wanted to send a lot of rail freight to Chicago, for example, the increased capacity isn't by weight, but really by size. Okay. You've now filled that 7 acres, and you could put a number of tail tracks or loading tracks.
There were improvements made to a good chunk of that line through a Tiger grant that Representative Courtney got several years ago. My understanding, and I don't know as many of the details of it, but my understanding is those improvements kind of start a little bit north of the facility, and there's still like a little section between the facility proper and where those improvements started, where some other improvements would be needed. But a good chunk of the corridor did have enhancements done.
There were 286 upgrades, I think.
Yeah.
We move away from rail and look into maybe a runway. Just about the right place for it.
Other questions?
What is the current status of the lawsuit between Blakesley and Hewitt, Blakesley and the CPA? Where is that?
I'm not really well that suited. Fred is actually. Yeah.
Fred's on the line.
I don't know.
Yeah, there he is. Yeah, he is.
Yes, I am.
Hey, Fred, could you give the short version of the current status of the Blakesley lawsuit?
Sure. The Port Authority took an appeal of the court's decision denying the authority's motion to dismiss Blakesley's claims, and that's currently on appeal.
Yep. Any other questions about the Hewitt contract amendment number 12? All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Aye. Any abstentions? Okay, Ulysses. I think you've generally described the AECOM, I'm going to read the resolution, entertain a motion in second, and then you can ask any questions that anyone has. Resolved that the executive director be and hereby is authorized, empowered, and directed for and on behalf of the Connecticut Port Authority, here and after referred to as the authority, to enter into a fourth amendment to that certain construction administrator's contract for design phase and construction phase services agreement by and between the authority and AECOM Technical Services Incorporated in the form attached hereto as the exhibit to agenda item number 9, to take such reasonable and necessary actions to execute, deliver any and all other reasonable necessary documents in furtherance thereof. Is there a motion? Moved by Tom. Is there a second? Any questions, comments, or discussion?
And just one question. I know Ulysses would love to retire. With all these resolutions, mention the executive director. Is there a...
I'll get them all done.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, that's
a good point. They will be executed.
Any other comments, questions?
Need a water cooled pen or anything.
Yeah, right.
The AECOM, I think you said, was 400,000?
Yes, 499,975.
All right, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, chair's privilege, I'll skip to 11 and then we'll come back to 10. Resolved, the executive director being hereby is authorized, empowered, and directed for and on behalf of the Connecticut Port Authority to negotiate and enter into amendments as applicable to the escrow agreement and the harbor development agreement, transferring, or I should say, enabling the transfer of $3,741,943.26 in the escrow agreement from the NECR lease fund subaccount to the authority DWW funds account. Such transfer amount to be replenished by the Connecticut Port Authority in installments over a five-year period and to execute and deliver any and all other reasonable and necessary documents in furtherance thereof. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
By John, is there a second? By Grant. Comments, questions, or discussion? All right. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, so now we'll go back to number 10. So this is a proposed amendment to the concession agreement between the authority and Gateway. And so this is something we've been talking about with Gateway for the last couple of years, and we wanted to wait to effectuate it because we wanted to make sure that the construction was done. And again, despite what you might hear from some members of the public, the facility is, for all intents and purposes, done. We've got some punch list items still going on. It has been in operation since the spring of 2023, and it was substantially completed in the summer of 24. And so now at this time, now we know the construction period, we know when Gateway was constrained in their utilization. I believe it's fair, and I hope you will all believe that it's fair, to amend the concession agreement. Gateway had a concession initial term of 20 years, with two possible five-year extensions. Well, they did not get to use the facility for about 2.5 years of those 20 years. Mm-hmm. And so we are proposing an amendment to the concession agreement that changes the initial term from 20 to 23 years. So it gives them that consistent 20 years of operation, which they were awarded as a result of the robust public process. That,
so there's no financial implications, right?
There is no financial implications. It amends. There's a lot of different aspects of the agreement that are amended so that they align with this new schedule. But the underlying financial agreement, their kind of concession payment to us and the escalators thereof, the minimum annual guarantee that will go back into effect after the wind scenario because it is paused during the sublease, all of those terms remain consistent. They're just adjusted to essentially acknowledge that for approximately three of those initial 20 years, they weren't operating the facility. They weren't making any money off of it. It was in construction during that time. And so the initial term becomes 23 instead of 20 years.
Did they come to us and ask for that?
It's something, I wouldn't say that they asked for it. It's something that Matt Satnick and I have talked about for about a year, you know, him saying, listen, you know, we're not getting to operate here. The concession agreement assumed that we would have those 20 years. I frankly fully agree. And so we had talked about when the time was right, when we had full visibility on sort of what their downtime looked like, we would address it at that time. And and we proposed the 23 years versus the 20. That didn't come from them.
It just showed you how smart they are.
Listen, they have been, I will never cease to say what good partners they have been throughout this. Yeah. I mean, they obviously, you know, they knew what they were signing up for. They came in with a partnership with Ørsted. They understood that there was going to be tumult, but they have evolved with the situation. They have adapted if needed. They have acknowledged when there was kind of things that weren't fully understood when agreements were executed, and they've consistently been a good partner to help us be solutions oriented and work through things. And they're doing a phenomenal job operating the facility, the first of its kind in the country.
Lucky to have.
So I will read the resolution, entertain a motion second, and then happy to engage in any discussion on it. Resolve that amendment number one to the concession agreement between the Connecticut Port Authority and Gateway New London LLC, here and after referred to as amendment number one, substantially in the form attached hereto as exhibit to agenda item 10, is hereby approved, and the executive director being hereby is authorized, empowered, and directed for and on behalf of the Connecticut Port Authority to negotiate, execute, deliver such amendment one and any and all reasonable necessary documents and further thereof. Is there a motion? Moved by Tom, second by Gaffney. Any questions, comments, or discussion? Okay, hearing none, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Any abstention? All right, next is item 12, which is the last one that I'm going to walk through, which is a resolution regarding a memorandum of understanding with Gateway around training for the ILA. We have talked about this before. We committed $50,000 previously. We are now proposing to increase our commitment to $150,000. I believe very strongly that doing everything we can to ensure that the longshoremen get the training they need to be active participants in this industry as it evolves. You know, we made the requirement on Gateway that they retain the local workforce. They have done so over and above, I think, what would be expected of them. And so I think this is
how long is this good? How fast do I get to spend 150?
Good question that I don't have the answer to off the top of my head. I will read the resolution, entertain a motion second, and maybe Ulysses mm-hmm. will try and find an answer to that by the time we do so.
I have a question as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
What are the trainings and who's the training provider?
Yes. I don't know the answer to that off the top of my head. We can certainly hold on and see. I just don't remember if it even is specified, or I don't think it does. This just specifies the transfer of the cost because Gateway has been managing that with the International Longshoremen's Offshore Wind Task Force or whatever. But we could certainly.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Because we have some of the best offshore wind training facilities here.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure they will try and do it locally as much as possible, but we will make sure to connect you with them so that they know that resource is available. I know that when they did the SPMT training, that was in Texas, but we'll do our best to make sure that the rest of it, or as much of it as possible, is up here.
Broader question.
Yeah.
Is there a sufficient workforce available?
So thus far, Ulysses, correct me if I'm wrong, but I have not heard a single point of feedback about difficulty in getting local labor.
And if they were short, we'd hear about
it. I would think so.
Yeah, really.
I would think so.
But they've got plenty of jobs.
How many longshoremen are employed there? How many actually there?
Right now, well, they're gearing up. Now that we have into 65 turbines as opposed to 12, we're gearing up anywhere, I guess, for total staffing from 75 to a little over 100. But when it comes to the ILA, you're looking at anywhere now between 40 to 60 once we fully gear up for ILA, just ILA.
One of the biggest changes from what I hear from them and what I hear from the folks that are working, one of the biggest changes, you know, we remain dependent on a large pool of part-time employment as the ILA have been here. What's really different is there's a limited number of them. And it's about a half a dozen, I think, who have been able to shift full-time because of this work. And that's been one of the biggest changes that folks have given us feedback about is the ability to convert a portion of the workforce to full-time. So,
thank you.
Yeah.
Anyway, we could have Gateway give us a report.
Absolutely.
I think that would be
absolutely
helpful.
Okay, I will read the resolution, and then we can enter any more further discussion or questions. Resolved, the executive director is authorized and empowered and directed for and on behalf of the authority to execute and deliver a memorandum of understanding, here and after referred to as an MOU, signed between the Authority and Gateway New London, whereby the Authority agrees to reimburse Gateway New London 50% of the associated training for the State Pier ILA workforce up to $150,000, hereinafter referred to as the reimbursement cap, as substantially described in the form attached here too, as the exhibit to agenda item number 12, take such reasonable and necessary actions as are reasonably required in furtherance thereof. Is there a motion, Grant?
Yeah, motion if the typo gets correct.
Yep, tell me where it is.
150,000.
Yes, thank you. Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Second by John. Any further questions, discussion? Okay, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstention? All right, I'm going to hand it over to Ulysses.
Okay, we're coming down to the end here. We have the GZA contract. As you recall, GZA is the outfit that we are contracting with for the repair, to do the design for the repair and modifications of Pier 7. This particular item involves really just an extension of their contract term, and that is to move their term of the contract from June 30 of 2024 to March 31, 2025. That is the extent of this particular request.
So,
Let me read the resolution and then I'll take that. Resolved, the executive director being hereby is authorized, empowered, and directed for and on behalf of Connecticut Port Authority, here and after referred to as the authority, to enter into a third amendment to that certain consulting services agreement by and between authority and GZA, GEO Environmental Incorporated, dated March 15, 2019, here and after referred to this agreement, to extend the term of the amended agreement from June 20, 2024 to March 31, 2025 for professional services related to engineering design solutions for repairs and modifications, Pier 7. Located within Fort Trumbull State Park, and the form attached here too is exhibit to agenda item 13, to take such reasonable and necessary actions, execute, deliver any and other all reasonable necessary documents and furtherance thereof. We have a motion from Tom. Is there a second?
Sure.
Second by John. Any comments, questions, or discussion?
Just a quick question. So 2026 was the goal to have all these things completed. Does the shift to the right impact the ability for use of the pier during 2026?
The ship to the right
on the schedule. On the schedule.
Oh, this does not impact the ability to finish 2026. This affects our ability to finish the design and to continue discussions with DEEP as it relates to the construction section.
Because I know there's a lot of people in New London that are really counting on this.
I think, right. So I've not been very close to this, but based on what I understand, I think you've got two outstanding conversations, right? The conversation with DEEP around design and utilization, and then a conversation with the state about funding. Those will drive the timeline more so than the time of the design work. But I will say, I would encourage everyone to advance this as quickly as possible and figure out what it is that we are trying to build, so that the conversations with the state around funding can advance sooner rather than later. Because we are, going to be entering budget season, and, until you have something in the capital budget of the state and the bond bill, and then before bond commission, there's no project.
Okay.
Any other questions, comments, or discussion? All right. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, next item, and then I will ask folks to just hold on for 1 minute beyond this. I will give Ulysses an opportunity to introduce the item. I'll read the resolution, motion, second, and discussion.
Okay, this one involves the state dredging study that I was talking about earlier. This particular item has $3 million from the state that's been appropriated from the state. The first phase of this project was $750,000 from the CPA, $750,000 also from the Corps. It was a 50-50 split between us for the first phase. This request that we're bringing before you right now is to extend, if you will, the completion date to December the 26th, but also to expand the scope of work for the Corps. The Corps is taking the lead on this study. and what the Corps would do for the additional $2.25 million will be to conduct detailed investigations of dredge material placement sites statewide based on the survey data that Eric talked about earlier, emphasizing consideration of potential placement in confined aquatic disposal cells or CAD cells and beneficial use sites for natural habitat enhancement. Also working very closely and with us as partnering and as a partner on this is DEEP, Connecticut DEEP. And I'm going to turn this over to Brian to see if in fact there's anything additional that he would like to add.
Thanks, Ulysses. I think you hit most of it. I guess I would just add that the initial phase, as Ulysses said, was to conduct the dredging needs survey and do some initial identification and prioritization of potential dredge material management options. And the agreement with the Army Corps would be amended to provide an additional task, as Ulysses described, to do much more detailed investigations. And CAD cells have been of great interest amongst the dredging community, and so we are prioritizing identification and development of some plans and preliminary engineering for CAD cells, but also, as Ulysses said, some additional beneficial use options, which might be things like a marsh restoration project or an island creation or restoration. And as Senator Austin mentioned earlier, she is very interested in this topic, and so we are keeping her apprised of this study as it moves forward.
Great. Thanks, Brian. Thanks, Ulysses. I'll read a resolution. Entertain motion second. We can have discussion. Resolved, executive director is authorized, empowered, and directed for and on behalf of the authority to negotiate, execute, deliver an amendment number one of the agreement between the Department of the Army and the Connecticut Port Authority for the development of a comprehensive plan for dredge material placement, including detailed investigations of priority dredge material placement sites, emphasizing consideration of potential placement in confined aquatic disposal cells and beneficial use sites for natural habitat enhancement, as substantially described in the form attached here too, as exhibit to agenda number 14, take such reasonable necessary actions as reasonably required in furtherance thereof. Is there a motion?
So moved.
By John, second by Grant. Any questions, comments, discussion? Okay, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstention? Okay, any old business? Okay, new business. I do have an item that I would like to propose that we take up for new business. Did not have it on the agenda here, did not want to make a big deal about it, did not want to take away from Ulysses' news, but I would like to ask that we take up as new business the voting on officers of the board to elect a chair and a vice chair. Last month marked 5 years since I was thrust into the acting chair position in July of 2019. It has been an incredibly challenging yet rewarding opportunity to work towards the objectives of the authority, but I think my time has come to step into a slightly reduced role. I have been in conversations with Paul Whitescarver, and he's demonstrated his willingness to step into the chair position. Talked to Grant. Grant has demonstrated a willingness to retain the vice chair position, and I have agreed to stay on the board for at least through the end of the year and perhaps further to serve as a resource to Paul, a resource to the new executive director if requested, but no longer as the chair. So I will first ask, because it is new business, we would have to have 2/3 of the board to agree to take this item up. So I'll first ask for a motion to take up the item of the voting on officers.
If we don't take up a motion, we got to stay on for a little bit longer.
So I had a cartoon that I meant to bring today, and I apologize that I didn't, but I will send it around. And it says the meeting room of the nonprofit board, and there's a woman lying on the ground, and her colleagues say, "You just have to say you don't want to be re-upped as chair. You don't have to fake your death."
So move. Second.
Moved by Grant, second by John. All those in favor of taking this item up?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? With that, I will entertain a motion to nominate a new chair and vice chair of the board.
So move.
You have to be a little bit more clear than that as to what it is that you're moving.
Yeah. David, I move that Grant Westerson be appointed as a vice chair and that Paul Weitzcarver become the new chair.
Thank you, Tom. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Second by Grant, second by many. Is there any questions, comments, or discussion? Okay, all those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Paul, he doesn't switch chairs.
He could stay there for the time being. But I would like to say a couple things, because the day that David took over as chair, I was voted in as a consultant to the Port Authority, and all the turmoil is since gone forward since 2019. And my hat is off to David for all the things that he's done for the Port Authority over the last 5 years. And then the other part of this is the vision that it took. If you think about, if you back it up to 2017, 2018, when we started thinking about offshore wind and the complete remake of the state pier, it's taken 7 years to get there. Think about the transition that it is, you know, the length of time that took. You know, there's been lots of discussion about, you know, whether, you know, we were using the pier for the right things. But if you looked at the amount of traffic in and out, and I get to watch it every day from my office, but it's quadrupled the amount of use on that pier. And I think it's great for the region. It's great for the state. And I think going forward, you know, it's always been part of any type of study that you did, that you had to have private money come in to do this project to reinvigorate the pier. And, you know, what a great way to finish a tenure as chairman after 5 years. I know this is Ulysses, you know, swan song as well, but my hat's off to everything that you've done, everything that all the other executive directors that we've had in. I mean, even the first executive director had the vision to do offshore wind, if you think about it. So, awesome job. Appreciate everything that you've done.
Thank you.
And thanks for staying on, because I could never master all the information that you've got in your head over 5 years.
Thank you for your willingness to step up. For the final time, I will entertain a motion to adjourn. Is there a second? Second. Meeting is adjourned at 1:46.
We really should.
Thank you all for sticking with it.